Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, but I'm party.
And Jake Latondras.
And bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur on this Monday morning. Special guest co-host with me today, Patrick Grauer. Grauer, you deep in the coffee yet?
Man, I've actually had two sips of coffee, and that's about it. I'm struggling this morning.
We were late for school this morning. We're rarely late for school. I don't know what. I must have cut my alarm off this morning, set for 6 o'clock, and we didn't roll out of bed till 6:40 when you're late. It's always about 6 or 8 parents, and they you know, all of it. All of them have slept late or overslept and slept through an alarm and they're late. And it's like it's like you're reporting to the principal as an adult.
I don't know if I don't ever remember being late for school because my mom was a teacher. So she always got us up and out. And I had a couple of kids that rode to school with me when I was old enough to drive. So I don't ever remember being late.
Ooh, I don't. It's not me. My mom worked at the school also, and I don't know. We were gone. I was always there 20 minutes early. But it happens to the best of us.
Oh, yeah. It does.
But it's like you can't look at each other, though, on the tardy wall. all these adults have this shamed look on their face because they got their kid late to school.
We're talking about elementary school, too. I mean, it's a really big, really matters, huh?
Anyway.
Oh, I know what you mean. So you guys got some snow this weekend in Oxford, huh?
It was nuts. I wish I could be as reliable as weather people and get paid. It's ridiculous. Zero chance in Oxford. We got almost 1.5-2 inches.
I mean, you know, you and I were talking last week. We were supposed to have, I guess last Sunday, they were calling for 8 inches out here where we hunt. And, you know, my buddy from Kansas City called me and was like, man, I don't know if we're going to be able to get there and da-da-da-da. And I said, man, we just need to wait this thing out. I bet you it changes. Well, they kept pushing it down, the number of inches, and then the storm started moving further south. Man, we didn't even get a flake of snow this weekend anywhere in Oklahoma, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they were calling between Friday night and Saturday for 8 inches even into like Tuesday of last week, and we didn't get anything. We got cold, but we didn't get any precipitation. I was just like, man, talking about missing the boat.
Hey, I am glad that we have Dustin Villarillo on the page. Him posted about the snow forecast this weekend last night. Thanks, Dustin Villarillo.
I don't even know if I saw it. I kind of fell asleep early last night.
I told him in my comments below it, I said, Germans bomb Pearl Harbor and Trump wins the presidency.
Oh, goodness.
He's the guy that posted this morning, hey, what am I going to be on the podcast? Dustin Villarillo's a good guy. He gets picked on a lot. Great guy. I know you listen to this, Dustin Villarillo. The best post by Dustin Villarillo, for those that are on Duck South that are listening to this, is when he blew the duck call and he was chewing the back at the same time. And there was literally spit like a cartoon coming out of his duck call.
Why does my duck call lock up?
It looked like a cartoon, man. It was spit going everywhere out the end of that call.
Man, I can't figure out why this duck call locks up.
Alright, another thing came up over the weekend. Did you see the post about Texas rig weights?
Yeah, I did.
You know, I never wanted to make anybody feel, gosh, how do I say this? I don't want to say guilted into buying the Duck South Texas rig weights. No, they were not developed directly by us. Have I ever told you this, Patrick?
I don't think so.
Well, for years and years, I used the Slater's brand Texas rig weights at Mossy Island Outfitters. Never had an issue. They were awesome. Comes from the Slater family that owned Slater's in Indianola. Well, Jimmy fell ill. He has a rare, rare form of blood cancer. That's the guy that owns Slater's, and you've all heard his story. He stayed in the hospital for years. The amount of contribution to the outdoor world the Slater's have made, they had to sell the store after he became ill. They kept the weight business and the jig business, but, you know, somebody said, well, you're making a killing off these weights. I'm making a buck or two that covers my time to get to the mailbox to ship them. The whole goal of selling these weights is to support a family that can't go to work that's trying to do something. I mean, the guy owes millions upon millions to the hospital. I mean, some days he's able to work, some days not. I mean, don't get me wrong, he has a ton of inventory. It's not like you're not going to get your stuff when you order it, but I don't know. For me,
well, I mean, I'd rather support somebody like that and know it's going to a good cause than, you know, support the guys in China or wherever they're making these products. Because, I mean, what to the majority of people out there, I mean, and I mean, I've used some of his stuff too over the years. I mean, it's quality stuff. So, I mean, buy the Chinese stuff and spend twice as much over the lifetime of the use of it.
And the thing is, look, if you love Duck South and the way it's managed and the podcast and those couple of bucks, they go to pay for those expenses. I listen, one of the worst things in the world is when a business owner has to explain profit to people that don't own stock in it, I guess you'd say. But this is no profit. This is just, it doesn't even cover the expenses that we have every month. That's beside the point. I'm asking you as a human being, I don't even care. Like I said, it covers my gas to get them to the post office.
Right.
So I'm just asking you to look at it as a human being. Not touchy-feely, but to know that you are helping a family. Sometimes we all need help. You agree with that?
I agree 100%.
And it's a great, great family.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, Mr. Eddie Slater, which we've talked about a couple of times on this podcast, it's in the Mississippi Outdoor Hall of Fame. You know, they just had a huge part, like I said, in contributions to the outdoor world. Great family. And listen, by any means, I'm not looking for any credit. But I think that you should know that. That when you pay that $22 for a dozen weights, which is pretty much $5 to $8 cheaper than everybody else, you're helping a great family in their time of need.
I mean, and everything that they've done in the Delta, you know, I mean, I know everybody, I know Duck South has grown outside the Delta, but from a conservation standpoint and just everything that that family's done for the outdoor industry over the years.
And the jerk rig, that jerk rig is awesome.
Yep.
Everybody needs a jerk rig in their bag in case the wind stops blowing.
Could have used one yesterday and we didn't have one. Nobody had one in their bag. Oh, my goodness. Three bags, no, none of us had a jerk rig in it because mine was in my other bag. I felt like an idiot.
So y'all hunted us. Well, hey, before we leave this, ducksouth.myshopify.com is where you can find the weights and the jerk rigs. ducksouth.myshopify.com. So how was, before I let you go, how was the hunting?
Awful.
Well, I mean, what about around you, though? And people that you talk to?
There were some guys that, so Sunday, I mean, Saturday, I hunt southern Kansas, northern Oklahoma. We had a spot up in Kansas that's been holding birds for the last 2 weeks. And we went there and nothing, I mean, they just, I don't know. We watched them. We put them all to bed. They were in there. They were, I don't know, they were probably 300 or 400 mallards and gadwalls and about that many geese in there. We were kind of like, well, we can just shoot a mixed bag, geese and ducks. And we had two groups that came in, and our boys were with us, our 11-year-old boys. So we let them shoot at the first group, and that was 6 shells that hit nothing but air. And then we killed one gadwall out of the next group, and, I mean, they just came in all day and would look and look and look, and I don't know. It was weird. I mean, we didn't see half the birds we had seen Friday night when we left there. Then Saturday, we went back down to Oklahoma, and we had gone down and looked at this one spot that we like to hunt, and there were a lot of birds in there Saturday evening, stacked up in this one spot. I mean, we iced up. We had about, I don't know, a quarter inch of ice. And we got a good hole broken up and no wind, and I bet we didn't see 12 birds yesterday. So I don't know where they all went. I know some of the guys to the west of us, they did all right. I mean, they didn't hammer them by any means, but I don't know. It's weird because last year, I mean, Friday, I drove an hour and a half before I saw any birds, like in the kind of Delta region where we hunt. So it was weird. It was really weird. So one seed.
Welcome to waterfowling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
the most frustrating thing in the world.
You know what, though? So I said something the other day on the page about I just, like, want my 11-year-old to love it as much as I do, whether we kill anything or not. I mean, he's been on, we got one spot that's just, in Oklahoma, it's nothing but mallards, and like we've taken the boys in there a couple of times for that. You know, they've been up to Nebraska, and where we limited out every time we went up there except for one. But the problem with them, I mean, even if you have them the warmest gear and everything, they get cold. I mean, and as adults, you know, we just kind of get through it. Because we know that it's not permanent, right? So that's always a problem with us, with the boys, is we leave them in the truck till the last minute, get them in the blinds or whatever, wherever we're hunting. So this weekend, I think we kind of broke through because my son was yesterday. I mean, there was nothing flying. And he comes over, he goes, you know what, Dad? I think I finally realized that I just like being out here with you. And like, we don't have to kill a bunch of ducks every single time. It's just kind of fun hanging out here with you and like learning how to break the ice and, you know, how do you get it out of the hole? And I was like, well, maybe we're getting somewhere. But it was one of those moments where as a dad, you're kind of like, maybe he is getting it.
I think 50% of it is time with the a parent, and I think the other 50% is kids have to have an exciting time plus see their parents have excitement about it.
Well, I mean, and the other thing too is just the wildness of it, right? I mean, I don't know if you've ever read that book, Wild at Heart, but just talking about a man's adventure. I mean, so we had a decoy blow off Saturday morning. And I told the boys, I was like, hey, y'all want to walk over there and get it. Now, it was a good half mile away by the time it blew to the other end of the lake. And they were like, yeah. Well, man, they come back and they're like so excited that they got to walk down there and pick up the dang decoy. It's just, they're getting it finally. But got to take the good with the bad. Just have fun with it.
Yep. Well, Patrick, I know you got to get to crunching numbers.
Oh, it's past number crunching time. It's mid-month, man. It's kind of projection time now.
Oh, boy.
We'll crunch on
today. Well, I've got to get to Rob. I've got a special topic that came from you last night that I'm going to talk to Rob about today.
Uh-oh.
Should be good.
You know what that is. All right, I'll have to listen.
All right, brother. Well, have a good day. We'll talk to you later
you
on.
Too.
All right, guys, it is Monday. You know what that means. Mr. Rob Croom just climbed out of the duck blind in Arkansas. You have clients this morning, Rob?
Yeah, got a full boatload today.
I saw some blackjacks and bluebills. Good job.
Yeah, we got the butterballs down in there and got some of our gangsters, too. Pretty fired up. Somebody posted the other day if anybody had a Merganser mounted, and yeah, I sure do. A whole cubby of them.
All right, so, you know, last week was one of the most downloaded podcasts that Mondays with Rob's ever had, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was humongous, huge. It's rivaling Mondays with Rob, special guest Spencer Halford, and talking about Arkansas new regulations. It's rivaling that podcast. That's how good it was and how big it's been. So everybody has had a comment about the leaf raking. That seemed to be a very big topic. Well, it got, yep. You know, after I saw that and all those people talking about it, I did a little research on it because I wanted to find out what the deal with leaf rakers are. Do you know, truthfully, it is a psychological condition?
I'm sure it is. Leaf rakenitis.
I don't know what it's called, but it is. People that have what is the word that I'm looking for? You know, that can where you clean, you're a clean freak?
OCD.
OCD. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was up late last night. My brain.
I think it's even worse than that. I mean, I think they've run out of hobbies.
The really neat thing that I found out about it is, if you are going to rake your leaves, you should wait till the spring to rake them. The big lie that goes along with that, usually when something is that extreme, there's some type of lie that provokes you into doing that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, the big lie that goes with the leaf raking deal that I found out and read in multiple places is a ton of people believe that it smothers their yard. Your yard's in hibernation. How are you going to smother?
The only thing it smothers is their free time.
Oh, all right. So want to move on to this. Get these last week topics out of the way before we jump into anything new. But last week, you trolled me. You got me. You sent all your clients to my personal messages for Greasem Outfitters, which is pretty good. It was good. I got a few messages. So, in return, to that, I decided I was going to sell my boat. And I put your phone number and half the price for the boat.
Yeah, and Jesse's phone number.
If you don't get an answer at this number, call this number.
I had 117 phone calls in 96 minutes. I had about 40 text messages, and finally my voicemail got full, thank God. It was good. You really did, outdid yourself there.
I'm not bringing this up to make myself look good, but I had so many people say, what was the best voicemail, text message, or phone call that you had? They wanted to know.
Well, I stopped answering them at some point because I was trying to leave for Arkansas, but one day he called me and talked to me for a while and kept. I said, no, I got a 2011 War Eagle. I don't have a 15.
I kept switch on and on. At Golden Circle Marine, you have one.
Yeah. And then finally the dude said, well, is this Rocky? And I just started laughing and hung up. So I don't know, but payback is going to be dealt.
You still there?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Okay, cut out for a second. Yeah, I knew when I called you to check on you, and you said somebody from, you're about to send out a gangster party to some guy in Oklahoma because he called you like 43 times.
Yeah, there was a couple of guys that really went hard on the calls. Like they were ready to buy it. You know what I should have done? I should have sold it, got a bill of sale, and made you sell it for that.
I knew you would come up with something.
That's what I should have done. And I still could do it because I got all these missed calls on my phone. It looks like, you know, you get the missed calls and it's all red. There's like four pages of them. You got me good. I'm going to give it to you. That's probably the best prank / troll job I've ever been a part of on the wrong end.
I've told this story multiple times on the podcast. Maybe not lately, but years ago, guy at the deer camp, he bought this gun. This before I started duck hunting back in the, I was 15 or 16 years old, by the time I started duck hunting. Anyway, everybody at deer camp got so sick of him showing this gun up. Literally every day when he walked into the camp, he had to bring this gun in and show everybody. Everybody had seen it 20 times. So me and my cousin devised a plan to put it in Tradewinds for half the price. Now, Tradewinds back then was a huge, huge deal. I think in a week he had 800 phone calls about that gun. And he never said another word about that gun. So he must have got the message.
Yeah, you just go ahead and enjoy this time that you have from your beautiful prank. Go ahead and enjoy it now.
Well, you and Jesse were on the phone for about an hour after it all happened.
Until I finally got in touch with y'all. Don't you worry about me and Jesse.
All right, let's move on to a better topic. I sent you this one last night. Miss Kentucky, 2014. We have another case of idiocracy. Miss Kentucky, 2014 is a teacher. Why is it so many teachers are like this?
Was a teacher.
Yeah, she was a teacher. But Miss Kentucky 2014 was a teacher and was sending nude photos to 15, 16-year-old student.
Yeah.
It's my Snapchat. Sending them through Snapchat. Yeah. Which should disappear, right? Unless you
take it a should, picture. But once it's on the cloud, I mean, it's pretty much on there.
He tells his mom, are you freaking joking?
Man, we've discussed this in previous podcasts. I don't understand, like, how this conversation goes down. Like, who, like, the kid, I guess, was offended that he was getting nudes from his hot teacher? I mean, what happened? Like, how does that conversation start? Hey, Mom, my hot teacher's sending me nude pictures of herself. What should I do? Because you know he didn't tell his dad. I mean, what did he tell one of his friends that just, like, told on him or something? Or did a kid, like, break down and tell somebody, his parents?
Why do these stories always end up with the mom finding out? Confessions to the mom.
I don't have any idea. But it always happens. And if there's this many kids getting caught, how many are not getting caught?
You're not kidding. Many of these go in secret.
Yeah, I mean, and none of this never happened when I was in school. I can assure you of that. Anybody out there listening that thinks we're out getting nudes from our teachers, I can assure you that didn't happen.
It was a 2-week process back when we were in high school. You had to take your
prints. Yeah, they would have had to go, take the prints. Yeah. Yeah, it would have been a big process. The impulsiveness of sending the nude photo would not have happened. I'd be like, I probably shouldn't give this name.
It would have been like the episode of Seinfeld where George was sending the photos to the photo developer, if you remember that particular episode.
I don't know what happens to these kids, but I don't know. I can't imagine the conversation that, you know, hey, Mom, my teacher who just happened to be Miss Kentucky said to me pictures of herself naked. What do I do? And another thing, I saw her mugshot last night. Hell, she looked pretty hot in her mugshot.
Ooh.
Go find the shot of her walking across the stage in the bikini.
Worry. Yeah, don't worry.
I can't say it on this podcast. I'll get in trouble.
No, don't say it. No.
Just say no. Hoop print.
I just don't get it. Yeah, we need somebody. There's some younger kids on Duck South. We need somebody that's had this happen to explain, like, how this all started.
That's a great
thought. Like, does it start, like, does somebody write them a letter, like, hey, I think you're hot, or, you know, let's talk after class, I need tutoring. Like, how does it start? Like, does it just start with the pictures? Like, how does he get her Snapchat, or how does she get his? Like, how do they get to that point? Hey, I need your digits.
Is it I don't know.
Well, we need somebody. There's got to be some kid on Duck South that just got out of high school and had something similar happen to him or his buddies or something. I just need to know how we get to that point.
Yeah, if this happened to you, I mean, we will definitely think about putting you on the podcast. This would be an interesting topic for everybody to hear.
And we could scramble their voice like they do on the mob, you know, the documentaries. I want to hear about it. I want to know, like, you know, I guess they, you know, you got the safe room for the kids that tell, and then the badass kids don't say anything. So I don't know. I'm going to tell my guidance counselor. This is ridiculous.
All right, I've got one that came up last night. I want to ask you this. Talking to Grower last night. And Grower was telling me that he wears Levi Strauss. Crazy comparison. Are Levi Strauss, and hear me out on the reason behind this, are Levi Strauss blue jeans the yoga pants of men? And here's my reason why. What is the difference? Let me ask you this and see if you know. Levi Strauss blue jeans. What is the difference between them and any other blue jean?
They cater to the skinny hipster people now.
Yeah, that's true. What's on the back?
Tag with your size.
Exactly. Only skinny people will wear Levi Strauss. 34 and below.
I'd wear them. 44, 30. Bring them on, Levi.
Don't bother you, does it?
No.
You don't scratch that out and make it a three, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm husky, but, I mean, the thing is, like, that Patrick wears a freaking Jones hat. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me one bit. Nothing surprises me anymore that he does.
If you hadn't seen this picture of Patrick wearing the Jones hat, it is so Instagram-esque. You need to go see it.
I mean, it's one step away from being a huntress.
It fits Instagram perfect.
Yeah. Look at our Drake Pro Staff Guide of the Month, Patrick Grauer with the Jones hat. He looks like he just smelled the worst fart ever in that picture. He's like trying to tell his buddies without, like, he wants them to smell it first before he breaks the news that it was him. And he's like, I'm just going to sit here and grunt it out.
Love you, Patrick. I don't know how I missed that picture for a whole month.
I don't either, because it was marvelous.
Well, all right.
It was. Yeah.
I got another one. I got your, what is, on a post, what's the proper number of hashtags to use?
Man, I don't use them because I can't spell real well. So, like, every time I start to use one, I screw it up. I get all mad. So I don't even use them unless it's hashtag Greasome or something that, you know, that I can spell real well. But, you know, I mean, there's some days it posts, like, 10 of them. Like, you know, hashtag Sick Ford, hashtag Higdon, hashtag Momars, hashtag Tangle Free, hashtag Killer's Gonna Kill, hashtag, I mean, there's a billion of them.
Are they just in hopes of those companies, like, seeing them and asking them to be a member of their pro staff or something?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, whatever they would need to do, I guess. I mean, most of the people that do all that have, like, 140 followers, so I'm pretty sure they're not going to get the lottery. You know, Sophie Swaney and what's-her-face, you know, they have some more followers, so, I mean, it makes a little difference. But, you know, I don't know if I should say that. Anyway.
I mean, if you're going to, here's the one that I don't get, posting the hashtags on Facebook. Does anybody really ever search for hashtags on Facebook?
No. No. No, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm not social media savvy enough, but I don't know.
There's some pretty interesting hashtags, though.
Yeah. Yeah, if you could spell them out and if you can read them, it's like one big jumbled run-on sentence.
You would think that the guy that invented hashtags would have invented hashtags with spaces where you could read it.
Who invented that anyway? Who was sitting around like, I'm going to put a pound sign in front of this?
It would have taken him literally 5 more minutes in his programming to recognize spaces.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. Maybe it's because we're old. I don't know.
The laziest Indian programmer in India.
Hello, my name is Michael. How can I help you today?
No, dude, your name's not Michael.
Hello, it is a pleasure to speak with you. My name is Eric.
All right, so I got to ask you, what happened in this group called?
Oh, you missed that, didn't you?
I could hear it. The problem was I had my mother-in-law in the truck, and I was really concerned with what y'all were going to say.
Yeah, Spencer had his family with him, and I didn't know that, and they learned a few things that they didn't know before. But yeah, you definitely don't need to be on there with your mother-in-law either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it started, but next thing you know, there's like 7 people on there. I think Crizzle started it. I don't know. Estes was on there. Boy, he was looking good.
This just looked like he just shaved his head before he came on.
I think he did.
Did you go see him while you were over there?
No, I haven't seen him yet this year.
I thought you were going over there the other night to sit down with him.
Should have.
All right, well, are you headed back to Tennessee today, or are you staying in Arkansas?
We're heading back today. We got some customers from Kentucky coming in to hunt Tennessee in the morning. I would have them private message you, but I don't want to get trolled again.
Oh, Lord. Like I said, I didn't bring that up for me. I brought that up to because I knew that you got every – I had at least 10 or 20 people I say, hey – what was the best message Rob got? I think he got a lot of them.
It wasn't any worse than when I did the band podcast and that dude called my grandmother.
Hey, look, one more thing before I let you go. The video that you posted from Jake, just on the side of the road or a place that y'all not did, that's awesome to catch that.
Yeah, no,
catch that albino mallard.
Yeah, no, I got that blonde hen, and all these dudes are on there like, that's a park duck. I'm like, dude, get out of here. Everybody's always got something to say. Like, oh yeah, that's a park duck. That's not even a real duck. Then dudes are on there like, I'd rather kill a band than an albino hen. I'm like, yeah, that's smart. It's only about.
Yeah.
You know, it's about as rare as killing a Jack Miner. Hey, and also, that's a pretty good post on there this weekend about going back to the old days and, you know, why does everybody have to have fancy cars and boats and wear this, you know, nice clothes? Look, man, if you want to go freeze your ass off in a pair of Red Balls and, you know, wear your granddad's jacket that weighs 600 pounds, go ahead, bud. Rock on. I mean, I'll take the nice Prima Loft and the Sitka and the comforts of a toboggan. I mean, go ahead, man. You want to freeze your ass off? Have fun. You drive a 1988 Jeep Wrangler, nobody cares. I drove a Nissan Maxima for 4 years and put my dog box in the back seat. And took plenty of trunk shots for that thing. Don't give me this crap about you got to have a truck and all this.
Bet you put that Nissan Maxima through hell.
Oh, yeah, it stayed muddy during duck season. People would pass me on the interstate like a Suburban with a frat rack and, you know, the hitch basket with a big Yeti on it, and I'd be rocking out my Maxima, you know, with a trunk full of ducks. Whatever. The dude that posted that is like 24. He's acting like he was hunting in the 70s. Get out of here with that crap.
In the post, didn't he put something about wearing hip boots and sneaking up on them, wading to them? I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, he's sneaking up on them, all right. He's sneaking up on some people with that post. They were like, man, let's go back. I got a 1246 aircraft with a 99 Evan Root on it. Starts every time. Good, man. Nobody cares.
I don't want to ever go back to a day that I don't want to ever have to go back to a day that I had to wear hip waders again, like the old days.
Nobody, the only people that care what other people are doing are the dudes that aren't killing anything. They don't have anything better to do but worry about what other people are doing. People are killing them, don't care. They're like, some dude the other day was like, you got four different brands of chem on. I'm like, yeah. Also, just killed a limit while you're in your mom's basement eating meatloaf.
What about the guy that compared you to you and the other guy services like yourself, a market hunter? I know that's a pretty interesting post. I don't know if you read that one.
No. That's ridiculous.
You and Tony Vandermore ruined duck hunting. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know. I wish I could trade Tony Vandermore these tits I have for those arms he has. Boy, he's hot. I want to keep my face though and my ass. Trade abs, my tits for his biceps. So I can wear those sleeveless shirts, those tanks. So God made a hunter. Hey, I was watching the other day. People keep sending me YouTube clips of Chris's vacation, and I finally remembered that Luke, whatever Luke, the Dreyfus girl, her name was Margot, and I can't remember the dude's name. But she's like, why did we move out here? He's like, I don't know, Margot.
Speaking of that, please give an update on the neighbors.
Man, the neighbors, I hadn't seen them much because I've been hunting. I gave them a little high-five salute the other day. I was going to run over their leaves again, but I figured it took their kids 13 hours to rake them back up. They've got a huge pile of leaves. It's probably 12 foot tall and 6 foot wide. They got that golden retriever out there frolicking around in them, playing with a frisbee.
Do you know, I'll tell you this. I said that I got asked best message that Rob got from last week's podcast. I got more messages or saying, hey, do you think Rob really ran through those leaves? I'm like, heck yeah.
Hey, you're the one that made fun of the golden retriever real bad. Just for the record, I don't want some golden retriever dude coming after me.
I'll stick by it. I'm not making fun of a golden retriever. I just make fun of people that have a golden retriever.
Well, you're the one that wears a size 16. Look, man, I'm a lover, not a fighter. We talked about that before, too. How long would it take you to warm up and exercise to get in a fist fight?
At least 30 minutes.
It would take me that long to get where I could run from the person. I would have to really stretch it out.
Oh, I'm going the full 30 minutes. And by the time the 30 minutes is over with, we're probably going to be calm anyway.
You probably worked it out.
Yeah, while I'm stretching and doing my yoga.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, Rob. Go run through the leaves again. For those that didn't believe that you did it the first time.
I'll probably do it sometime tomorrow morning on the way to hunt. It'll be about 4:45 in case they want to go out there and watch the spectacle. It's such a big pile now, I got to be careful. I mean, it'll blind you.
So the pile is still up there? Still?
Yeah, they re-raked it. Yeah, when I left the other day, I'm telling you, the pile's as big as a container. One of those big containers I have, you know? It's that big. I mean, I'm telling you, it's 12 foot high.
All right, well, Rob, be careful going back east today. Hope you have a great day. Enjoyed hanging out with you.
All right, then.
All right, Rob, we want to thank you, and we want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.